So, hey, John, this is episode 2 of our Let's Talk About Mutants and Masterminds Third Ed podcast. Once again, we've got James Dossey and John Lighthouser with us. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy. And, John, we kind of broke up into 2 episodes because we were savoring all the secret squirrel stuff for this podcast.
Awesome.
So let's just dive into some of that secret squirrel stuff. Like, what are we releasing in January?
January is going to be obviously a pretty big month for us. So coming up in the next couple of weeks will be, well, actually by the time this gets played, probably in the next week, we should have the pre-order up for M&M Heroes Handbook. The PDF is currently looking pretty sweet and being proofed, and I got all sorts of errata in there, which I guess I can say that too. I had finally the chance to go through and get all the errata compiled with the help of a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person named Glenn Hall, who is on the forums, and I don't know what his name is on there, but he and I have been trading emails, and he was like, hey, I'll do some proofing for you, and oh my God, just fantastic.
Excellent. Can you maybe cover in general broad strokes what's covered by the errata and, you know, how much we'll see in the change in there?
I don't even know if I want to go there.
Well, just in broad strokes. You don't have to mention anything specific.
It's
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff in there, unfortunately. It doesn't make me happy to say that. but so if I look at, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that gets fixed that are really tiny little things, and then there's some things that I'm sure people are going to be really interested in, like stuff like, oh, okay, you know, the battle suit needs to have its Dodge 9 changed to Dodge 8, and the construct needs to have its Dodge 8 changed to Dodge 9. Like, so there's everything we could find that was a problem, right? It's in there. Mm-hmm. So let's see here. Page 91, concealment. Change the last sentence of the first paragraph from sequence. Well, this is a stupid one.
Yeah.
Okay, under extras, change the cost of the attack extra from plus zero cost per rank to plus zero, plus one cost per rank to plus zero cost per rank, because it was not correct. The attack extra was wrong on that one. So there's a number of different things. Growth and shrinking, unfortunately, got changed pretty significantly because we made changes to growth and shrinking kind of up until the last minute, and then we put together the growth and shrinking size chart in the back of the book, and I didn't actually include the text that needed to go into growth and shrinking to make it all make sense, so all of that is now up to date. And so we're going to go through, and I can't even put a timeline because we've got so much other stuff going on right now, but I'm going to have one of the guys go through and make the changes to the PDF so that will then be updated so people can get an updated version of that they can use on their iPad or use.
Will there be an updated version of the DC Adventures book as well?
You know, we've almost sold through the entire first print run, which is fantastic, and then I honestly want to say thank you to everybody for that. It's been great. And so, yes, we will be going back to press with that. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Okay.
Because we're not,
but what about the PDF?
Yeah, the PDF is absolutely going to get updated.
Okay.
And then the – sorry, that's what I was saying before is we'll get the PDF updated and put that up. And then once we go back to press on the actual book, I assume we will roll all of these changes in to make sure it's all up to date. And
sweet.
Yeah, so, and stuff like, this is probably an errata thing people would want to know, like luck control, we referred to luck points. Well, there aren't actually luck points anymore, so I rewrote luck control so it says you can use some of your luck that you get from your luck advantage in the same way that you would hero points if you have luck control. So, there's a bunch of different stuff. I mean, honestly, there's, looks like I have a total of, I don't know why this extra page is on here, looks like I have about 13 pages worth of fixes, including like completely different stats. I've included full stat blocks in here for like the hawk and the whale because some of their stats were wrong, and it's just easier to give to Hal and the other guys, like, here's what the stat block should look like. make it right. So there's, you know, there's a fair number of things in here and fixes for the different characters. Like the Flash has his run up walls and run on water, and Green Arrow actually has power attack now. Superman's, oh my God, Superman's quickness is fixed. Everyone can relax.
Yeah, I was losing some sleep over that, man. I'm glad you addressed that issue.
It was, that was a big one.
I will have to say that, you know, for those of people who haven't been in tune with the previous editions of Mutants and Masterminds, one of the things I did love is the fact that you guys did constantly update and, you know, keep a list of errata on the website and things like that. So we had that available to us. I mean, I remember a lot of gaming going back to the 80s where, you know, you had to make up your own errata sheet and just kind of hope for the best. So,
So there's plenty of stuff in here. And I think, like I said, Glenn did just a fantastic job compiling all this stuff. And I just finally got a chance to go through it all, make sure it was all correct. I had, you know, four different versions of the rules to look at, which sounds ridiculous, and it is, but it's like I had to compare the DC rule book to the printed, or the DC PDF to the actual printed rule book, to what the errata was saying, to what the manuscript says, and it was just like, okay, now wait, which is the correct thing to actually be looking at here? So a lot more goes into it than I think people really understand. You don't just put a bunch of notes on paper and that's the end of it. It takes a lot more time than that.
Believe me, having published some books with mistakes myself, I understand completely.
It's really a process, and it deserves to be a process, and it needs to be. I would love it if everything would be perfect right off the bat, but, you know, we need to make sure that everything's getting done correctly this time. So,
well, hey, while we're talking about rules, it seems like most of the questions we had in the thread could probably be covered under there's going to be a bigger errata list coming out. However, Grimshade had a couple of less specific questions just about how do you guys run knockbacks, and what are your thoughts on impervious? Does power attack beat it, or does it go to base damage? Are you cool with answering those questions right now, or is that something maybe to leave for the errata?
Actually, I know neither of those are in the errata. The impervious toughness one, I'll have to think about, because off the top of my head, my answer would probably be nope. Power attack would probably trump it, but I don't personally think I like that answer either. So I'll have to think about that, because it probably institutes a pretty big change to how things work in the game. My cheat answer for people, which I know the rules lawyers out there don't like, is to say run it how you want to run it. If you don't like the fact that somebody can overcome Superman's impervious by power attacking, then say, fine, it's based off that lower value. I think that's one of those rules that it's so specific that it takes away from the fun when you're in the moment to say, oh, wait a minute, we have to stop and look at the rules. Doesn't this mean that I can't actually affect him, and I can't just power attack my way over his? We can't do that, you know. And I would, despite the fact that that might thematically make sense, I don't know. I guess the short answer is I really don't want to answer that question right now. But if that's something that people are definitely up in arms about, it's something I can look into. So
how about the knockbacks question?
Yeah, knockback is one of those things. I mean, at least right now, it's kind of a hand wavy thing. We have another book coming out in the spring called The Game Master's Guide, which is going to be include information for something like that. So, if you want to institute a knockback rule, there will be a knockback rule.
Hey, is that going to include a screen by any chance?
So there's two things, actually. So there's a Game Master's Guide, which is all sorts of stuff on writing up villains and creating villains and, you know, coming up with motivations and the sort of adventures they cause or antagonism they cause for characters, that sort of thing. So that's the Game Master's Guide. And then there's the GM's Kit, which is a GM screen along with a booklet, which the booklet is going to include the quick start character generator, random character generator, whatever you want to call it. And so those two things are a single package.
Okay, cool, cool.
The screen and the booklet are a single package, and the Game Master's Guide is a separate book.
Let me ask you, James, let me just jump in with something before I forget about it, sorry. And maybe this is a question that we don't want to handle right now, but Flying Cobra, literally just a few minutes ago, wrote on the forums, any possibility in discussing the role of descriptors and the way the mechanics of an effect work, i.e. time control, stop-related afflictions, gravity control based on move object? Is that kind of an errata thing or something else?
I guess I don't understand exactly what's being asked. How those special effects?
Well, I'll tell you what. How about I just write right back to him and ask him too if he can, you know, explain a little bit more on that.
The basic thing I was going to jump in about was John had mentioned the GM's kit and the Game Master screen and the random character generator that Leon talked about a little bit last time was something that I've had the privilege to actually take a look at some of that. I hope you don't mind me saying that.
Oh, Leon's fired.
No, okay.
Oh, wait, did I send that to you?
You sent me that.
Oh, then I'm promoted.
Okay. But I just wanted to say, without giving away anything detail-wise, it seems like almost like it would take the place, and I hesitate saying this, but it would almost looks like it would take the place of an Instant Superheroes-like product. Is there any interest in, are you guys intending for that, or is that something that that might be another project coming down the pipe or something?
Yeah, it's not meant to be an Instant Superhero killer. Mm-hmm. It's because, believe me, I love that book. I think it's probably one of the better books that came out for second edition. I really, really enjoyed it. The different takes on all the different archetypes and stuff. I thought it was quite, quite well done. And I'm sure Steve will cry a little tear because I don't think he did any design work on that. I think that was mostly Phil Reed and I can't remember the other guy's name, and I don't have my books in front of me. Hammes, Hammes, is what I'm seeing in my head. But it's meant to be another way to get people playing faster. We all definitely understand that Mutants and Masterminds being a point-based system can be a bit of a pain to kind of get into and get rolling on, and we wanted to just make it easier. And so now you can pick up this GM screen, which, you know, GM screens, honestly, except for the GM, are pretty useless. And they're typically bundled with something like an adventure, which you use once and you're done with. And we didn't really want to do something like that, because we have other plans for adventures. And we wanted to give something that would actually be useful. So if you sit down, whether as the GM or the player, and you say, I want to come up with whatever, I want to play a hero, or I want to come up with some ideas for a bad guy, if the GM is doing that, they can sit down and they can roll a d20 a handful of times, I'll say, whatever, 10 times, and write over, copy over the information they get each time, and they'll have a complete balanced 150-point character by the end of whatever, awesome. 10, 15 minutes. So
that would make a great Java app.
Thinking it would be a great add-on for Hero Lab.
Yeah, as soon as the character archetypes are all written up, I have six or seven of mine done, and Leon has sent me one or two, and he's got a few more I know that are in the works that he said he was going to have to me soon, and we need to get it over to Hal to put into production as quickly as we can. But they're really going to be cool, and as soon as we have them, I'm hoping to send them over to the guys at Hero Lab and say, or Lone Wolf, and mm-hmm. say, is this something you could, put into the game or put into the programming of Hero Lab to actually let somebody randomly generate a character, and we'll see how it goes. That's not something we have worked out with them, but they might be interested in doing it. So.
Just as a footnote, looking back at Instant Superheroes, the
Michael Hammes.
Michael Hammes, that's how it's pronounced, and then additional material, Steve Kenson and Philip Reed.
Yep, okay. So I guess Steve did do some work on it, so he's not crying quite as much.
But
we can hope.
But yeah, hey, it's a great little booklet.
Mike, did you get a response back from?
Good question. Might have. Hey, this is real time forum activity that'll be posted weeks from now. No, I haven't gotten a response. However, okay. I do have another question. If you're still game, John, another question for you.
Sure.
From Jonathan M. Thompson, the head of Battlefield Press International, who they're actually planning some third party books. Mm-hmm. He was asking, do you guys have plans to update and re-release the generic source books, such as Mecha and Manga, Warriors and Warlocks, various Golden Age, Silver Age books, that kind of thing?
We don't actually have any plans to do that right now. We're planning to probably do something with some of that stuff. But, you know, I've said before, I have very little interest in... despite the fact of what some of the people on the forum say, I don't want to sell you stuff you already have. And even though people have said, this is what I'm talking about when I say people on the forums have contradicted me or proven me wrong, is they do want to rebuy it, like a new edition of Silver Age or Golden Age or whatever. But I think that information is still valid, and, you know, if the characters are what you want, just write up the characters in third edition and you're off and running. So it's, I don't really want to kind of go back into the territory we've already covered unless we come up with a really interesting way to do it. You know, like why make $20, $30, $40 on something they already have on their bookshelf?
Okay. John was also wondering, what kind of third party support are you interested in seeing for the new line, Third Ed?
You know, I guess I'll have to wait and see what people come up with, which actually I'm more excited to see what people come up with than just saying outright, this is what I'd like to see. But I think once we start actually releasing some third ed product, because, you know, DC is out, but now that M&M is out, we're going to start rolling on a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll have to see what areas people think there's still need for.
Okay. All right. Are we still looking at January for being when the third party license goes live? Or is that going to get pushed back?
It's probably going to get pushed back. In fact, I was supposed to do something just today about that. It's probably going to get pushed back to the start of January, just so we can have a month to get the book out there. And
the start of January?
So I thought it already was the start of January.
It was the start of January.
It was at the end of January before.
So it would be the start of February. February.
So you're going to push it back just a couple days or a couple weeks, or do we know yet?
Yeah, it's just a full month.
Oh, okay, so the end of February then. Because it was originally the end of January.
Yeah, it's January 31st.
Okay. Well, maybe we're okay then. Maybe we're okay. I needed to, like I said, that was one thing I needed to do today, and instead I went to the eye doctor.
I might be talking through my hat, but I thought it was January 31st, 2011 on the Superpower Light.
That's what I had down too.
Yeah.
Considering that we're both like gearing up to publish stuff, we were kind of anticipating that answer.
Yeah, so okay. I'll look into it and find out. But I think we're planning to push it back a month, and if that changes, we'll.
Say it's a possibility, and we'll check with you later on that.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
You want me to edit that out, or can I let the conversation go?
No, that's fine. That's fine. We can just leave it in.
Okay, now I
realize what a fool I am. Don't know anything.
So
talking more about January, because there are some things you've mentioned that are coming out in January in the pre-show strategy session.
Shindig. Square Dance.
You mentioned a couple of other things. Something called Threat Report.
Yes, the Threat Report. This is something that I have included in one of the upcoming previews, the art previews that I've been posting online. Mm-hmm. At least it's upcoming when we're talking about this.
Right.
So the Threat Report started as a project called, cleverly enough, The Villain of the Week. And it's going to be a weekly Aegis Threat Report that gets posted every comic book Wednesday. And so you can download a new villain every Wednesday. as a PDF, and so that'll and it'll be a pay thing, and we have to figure out exactly what the price is going to be, but it'll probably be like, you know, a buck or two to get this 2-3 page PDF of a character.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then over the course of the year, we'll, you know, if we stay on schedule, do 52 of these things and have 52 characters that you can have as bad guys over the course of the year.
Is this going to be kind of like the old Torg reports where you take feedback from people and incorporate it into the next one, or
we
more
may
about
get
just straight up characters? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we may get to that point. Initially, what we're doing is planning out, simply for art purposes, is planning out sort of in 4-month chunks.
Okay.
So the first 4 months are pretty much done. And so we've got the write-ups for those guys, and the art is being done, and they're getting laid out all of it in a chunk. And then we'll look at the next 4 months very soon. And they're going to be... Yeah, they're going to be just characters. In fact, I think the first 6 characters are actually villains from the Emerald City setting that are pictured in the Mutants Masterminds Heroes Handbook. So you'll actually get to put some stats to Pack Rat and Junk Pile and Fallout and Dr. Shock.
Which I think leads us into the villain topics, because you've been posting some villain art, or you will be posting some villain art. Maybe you can give us a little rundown on some of those villains that you're going to be showing off next week, which will be
actually,
this week when we talk about it.
Right, this week when we talk about it. I don't know if I'm going to post the actual villains concept art, but I do. I have a post. That includes all their names and backgrounds and stuff like that. So, or at least a short little snippet on each one. But yeah, the villains, and we came up with a dozen of them or so, are also, I'm pretty happy with them as well. Came up with some really neat stuff. So,
can you give us a, not necessarily a blow by blow, but like a power level range from like the bottom end to the top end?
Oh, they really run the range. I think the lowest might be about PL9.
Okay.
It doesn't go particularly low, and then I think the highest is PL12, PL14 for Fallout.
Okay. So we do have some heavy hitters in there.
Yeah, Fallout is a 14. He's pretty powerful, nuclear powered guy. Junkpile is 12, and he kicks some ass. So, but then there's Killshot, who's an assassin, kind of a just gun wielding character. I wanted to do a female character with a skull motif because it's done so infrequently. and then a bunch of other characters. I think Dr. Shock is an 11. I think Double Time. I don't remember exactly what she is off the top of my head. Pack Rat, I think, is a 10 or 11. The Rubber Bandit is I think he's 10.
So Double Time. That sounds like she's either a speedster or a time traveler.
Yeah, she's a speedster with time powers, so she ages quickly, or she is aging quickly. And she said, "If I'm going to die fast, I'm going to have some fun."
Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys. I think my favorite probably is Dr. Shock. He just the visual on him turned out great, and really. He should be in a comic book. He's just awesome.
Very cool. Looking forward to that.
So, truth the rumor about Third Ed LARP rules?
Yeah, we're working on that. It's going to be based on a rock, paper, scissors mechanic. So.
Rock on.
Yeah.
I was just talking nonsense, were you? I can't.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Absolutely.
Okay, sorry. All right. Just making sure, because someone out there is wondering. All right, cool. Anything else we want to cover?
Well, let's see. There was – I don't think – we mentioned the GM's kit, but we haven't yet talked about Hero's Journey.
We haven't.
Oh, yeah. So that's the other thing that's going to be being announced or has been announced by the time this comes out is we have a book line of PDFs, adventures. There, that's it. Adventures that we'll be releasing for third edition, which we're calling A Hero's Journey, and the first one is called Emerald Knights. And it's basically, if you're familiar from Dragon Magazine or what Paizo's doing now with their adventure path, is the hero's journey is our answer to that. So it's going to be not quite as grandiose as their adventure paths. This is a 20-page PDF every month that'll come out for 6 months. And then at some point, I imagine in the fall, we'll probably combine that into a book and release that as a single product.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's going to, again, it ties into this whole launch with third edition and with the Sentinels and with your own player characters, and it takes you from sort of the line we've been using internally is takes you from zeros to heroes. So it takes you from being the new guys on the block to being the heroes of the city and establishes you as the heroes of Emerald City.
Nice. Can you tell us who's writing those? Is it one writer, or do you have different writers working on that?
Yeah, we have different writers. There's six different parts. Christopher McLaughlin and Jack Norris and – yeah, I'm going to have to remember all of these. Seth Johnson, who is a good friend of mine and who worked on HeroClix for a long time. Darren Bulmer. No, am I wrong about that? He's writing something else for me. So yes, there are people right. Oh, Walt. Walt
Zanowski. Who often works for Adamant Entertainment.
Ah, oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yes. So those are the guys. So
very, very cool. I know people who are fans of the first two Crisis supplement or Time of Crisis, and then Time of Vengeance, sorry.
Yes.
For second edition.
Both written by Mr.
Glad to hear that Chris McLaughlin is working on this one, too. Very cool.
Yeah, and he actually, he was the guy when I sent out the six parts, he was the guy that I said, I'd really like you to do the first part and the last part, because I'm sure you'll be able to pull everything together. And Aaron Sullivan. Sorry. So it's Christopher McLaughlin, Aaron Sullivan, Seth Johnson, Jack Norris, and Walt C.
I'm glad to hear Chris is involved because he's a hell of a writer, and he's twice as tall as a normal man with a shock of red hair. And he wants to be
a big fan. He's a very nice guy.
He really, really is. I'm glad to see he's involved in this because he does great work.
Yes.
Yeah. So this
good to hear Jack working on it too, even though he didn't mention it to me at all, despite the fact that we're working on another project together.
Jack is super busy.
He told me he hates you. So.
You know, when Jack's not a talkative lawyer in Chicago, he's a crime fighter. I shouldn't have sold anybody that, but yeah, he fights crime with his verbosity on the streets of Chicago.
Yeah,
streets of Chicago. Hey, got a question from Hero for Hire on the forums, and this is maybe one you can answer. He asks, he or she, sorry, I don't know, will we be seeing more pre-built quotes powers in the M&M 3E core book?
The guts of the 3E core book is basically the same as DC. It'll include all of the errata fixes and things like that, although I'm sure there'll be new things that get introduced. New errors, I mean. But it does have some, it's laid out slightly differently. I added some examples. I added the damage information that's now only under the damage power is now in the combat section as well. So it's slightly different. But the guts really, it's the same exact game.
Well, Hero for Hire's next question was, what in terms of content will the M&M 3E book have DC Hero does not? And I guess you just answered that question. It sounds like it's the same rules-wise, but with the fluff will be different?
Yeah, it's the same rules-wise. We don't have a character section at the back, so you're not going to pick it up and like there's not going to be the Freedom City characters or anything like that at the back. It's just the rule book, as opposed to the DCA book, which had, you know, the 12 heroes and villains in the back. It's basically the same in terms of all the rule stuff, and then there are some slight rejiggering of things and a couple of like minor additions, and all the errata is in there and that sort of thing. So it's the guts.
So just to clarify, I'm a little confused. Just making sure. So the characters, the Sentinels will or will not be in the Heroes and handbook?
They're not going to be in the Heroes Handbook because we're giving them away for free on the website. So
what the hell?
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. Starting January, we're going to obviously be having a few things go live. And one of the things, and this actually ties into the launch of the book, and it ties into the Emerald Knight's Hero's Journey thing, and it ties into the whole idea of making it easier for people to start playing a game, is in January we'll be putting up the 10 player characters, and I'll figure out a way also to put up the 10 Hero Lab files for those characters.
I'm sure there are a dozen people who would be happy to just...
Yes, I'm sure it's an easy thing to do.
Yes.
They're all written up. It's just a matter of putting it together. So we're going to have some PDFs made with the characters, with their information, and then we'll also put up those Hero Lab files, and then all 10 of those you can just download and use. Because I'd love it if, you know, I'd show up somewhere and people would be talking about, oh, when I was playing Ultramarine, I did this, and when I was playing Mongrel, I did that.
So does this mean the, I'm assuming the Emerald City is going to get a book?
You're going to give away all my secrets here? You want me to go all the way through to the middle of the year?
That was actually one of the questions from Flying Cobra on the forum thread. He was asking how detailed we're going to be going into the Sentinel's home city. I'm guessing that you're saying you have secrets involving this. That means that there's going to be some more information.
I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of an Emerald City source book.
Well, I can say this, that if you decide to put those characters into print form, I'll be happy to see it.
But, yeah, I think you will eventually see those characters in actual bound print forms.
Can I ask you a question about that book?
The book that I am not committing to saying it exists or not.
That's why I'm asking if I can ask a question before I ask the question.
Sure, yes.
All right, because you can say no right now, John. You can say no, and we'll just move on to talk about Gary Coleman again or something. I don't care. Because I love Gary Coleman. I can talk all night about Gary Coleman. What you talking about,
that's
Willis?
Okay.
I got a one-man show anyway. So Freedom City was almost an ADD level of detail. Sorry, an OCD level of detail.
There you go.
Yes. You know, radio stations, specific streets, clubs on specific streets, floral shops. Are we getting that level of granularity on Emerald City, or is it maybe a little more 30,000 feet?
I think it's going to split the difference. I think there's going to be kind of my what I'm having people work on is the broad strokes and then specific examples within those broad strokes. So I'd like it to be something that a GM can pick up or a player can pick up and not be overwhelmed by the amount of detail and how much, like, okay, I need to remember, like, what this specific cross street was or what radio station the book says that this character works for that I came up with. Well, that's great. I mean, that's good information to have, but I think that's an older style of design, and I want to make the books generally more useful so they will give you examples of whatever, a Starbase coffee and a couple of people in it or something, like some sort of encounter in a Starbase coffee, and then like broad strokes other than that. So it might present things in a different way than Freedom City did.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
I don't know if that really makes that much sense. I'm having a hard time putting it into words.
Since we're discussing a book that's completely hypothetical and might not exist anyway, I think you're doing just fine.
That's right. I mean, if this book were to ever come out, this is the approach that I would want to take.
It's some alternate universe where it's MNN 3.5 ed. It might come out. We asked if it's going to come out in this universe.
Right.
It might. We can't commit to that yet, so I don't want to press you too much on that issue. Okay, well...
Yeah, Steve and I... Oh, here. Steve and I talked about this theoretical book, and he said things quite well in here. Listen, dead air is no good. This is the way he phrased it that I thought was very good. Include encounters or one-shot sections that highlight some of the adventure potential of different parts of the city. So, for example, when talking about, and this is just an example, because I don't know if we're going to have a drawbridge, but talk about an important drawbridge that spans the inlet from the sound to not the, you know, to the water or to the other side of the land, provides things like its toughness, strength of its motors, that is, what's the DC for stopping it from moving, how to stage fights on, what could happen that's interesting in the area, you know, if a sea monster damages it, what happens, how to rescue people trapped on it, you know, include, you know, difficulty classes for this sort of stuff, school bus dangling from it, that sort of thing. So, like, give information that the GM can use in play as opposed to here's a whole ton of details that you need to learn by rote in order to...
So basically, like, instead of showing an immense amount of detail across the city, you'd basically have, like, a broad stroke city map with, like, magnifying glasses over specific locations and
Exactly, that sort of thing. Yeah. And the goal is to just make it more user-friendly.
Okay.
Very cool. Very cool.
Well, hey, I think we've been talking for about another hour. Let's just kind of say, is there anything else you want to cover?
Let's see. Did we actually cover everything we were going to talk about? We talked about the...
January releases, the Emerald City book, threat reports,
GM's kit. Oh, well, you can mention a little bit more about the GM's kit. You did mention that... there's a the GM's kit. What is it going? You did mention it was going to contain a GM screen,
right?
And you've been fiddling with that recently. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's going to be just a normal GM screen, so it's not going to be super unique.
Do you guys know what the format and the layout's like yet? Or
yeah, it's going to be one of the sideways. Screens for sure.
Okay.
And I think we're working on
style.
Yeah, I
or
think
not
we're
portrait
working,
style, landscape style.
Landscape style, yeah.
Yeah.
Working on a nice big cool image that combines some of the Emerald City characters, heroes and villains, along with the Freedom City heroes and villains. So it'll be a big
crossover.
Fight scene. One of the things we wanted to be very clear about for people is that we are absolutely not abandoning Freedom City. That's going to be something that we want everyone to be aware of. I mean, Emerald City is a portion of the Freedom City universe, but it's not taking over for Freedom City at all.
Cool. Very cool.
And so you may eventually see a Freedom City supplement in third edition, but it won't be this year.
So, you know, potentially some of the Freedom City characters could show up in Emerald City Adventures and vice versa. So, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly.
Kind of a pet hobby horse of mine is the cosmic aspect of the Freedom City verse. Are we going to see anything dealing with that in the Emerald City hypothetical source book, or is it too early to say?
In the source book, maybe a little bit in the source book, but I think... I don't think that'll be a major portion of it.
Okay. All right. Any plans for a cosmic book on the whiteboards or not so much?
It's always on the whiteboard. But it's just a matter of getting around to it. But I think some of the stuff we have planned you'll be pretty happy with, especially if you like sort of that level of things. We've got some interesting things in the works and I don't want to go into it too much because give you too many details would spell it out too clearly. But I think even in the upcoming year, there's going to be things that you'll be like, okay, this totally works. I love it. So
okay. Can I jump in with a couple of quick questions about DC Adventures? Because I think some people were curious. And for those who haven't actually been reading the Mutants and Masterminds website, you did make a clarification about some delays that you had with the Heroes and Villains books. I wondered if you wanted to go ahead and quickly cover that, or is it...
Yeah, it's... I think I talked about this either... Where was it? I don't know if it was... Oh, I posted something on the...
You posted something on the front page of Mutants, and it was pretty... You know, if you just wanted to quickly touch on it and give a summary for people who haven't maybe read the website. But,
yeah, it's. The basic upshot was when DC is fantastic to work with. We've had just a great time dealing with them. They're very, very professional, very on top of things, and we turned over the first draft, and this was, these are not small documents, right? In Word, I think it was 500 pages of characters. And if you've ever written a 500-page document, you are a braver man than I, because I only copied and pasted from a whole bunch of different other documents. But it's a lot of words. And so they had to go through the whole thing. And then as they were reading through it, they asked us to make changes, which is part of the process. And so we sent things back to the writers and had them make changes, which takes time. And then got it back together, compiled it all. I did all my development work on it. And the development work is to just go through and make sure that all the characters actually make sense when compared to one another within the framework of the rules. And then sent it back to DC, and that was right when they were going through their editorial change up about, I don't know, a month and a half. In fact, they just did some more stuff today. They promoted Eddie Braganza and a couple other people. Mike Chiarello? I forget.
Yeah, it's been very busy. They moved their operations to California, basically, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's not entirely right. They're moving some aspects of it out to California, and then their DC is still in New York. DC Comics is still in New York. It's going to stay there. I think some of the licensing guys and like the movie guys have moved out. But even that, I mean, I'm talking out of my hat. So it's a whole bunch of different stuff. But anyway, so we sent the document over there right as that changeover was happening, and couple of weeks later, I wrote him back and said, hey, you know, I sent this over. I want to see how it's going. What sort of an ETA we can expect to get this back? And they were like, oh, yeah, it's in the works, and it's a really long document, and we're going through it, and it's just a lot of work. So it ended up, I think I got it back 3 or 4 days after I emailed them, which was perfect, and now it's over with Hal going into layout, and he's got all the art suggestions that people had. He used a lot of them, and when I say a lot, I'm sure a lot of them, but there were some that he also had to go through and find some new stuff for, either because it just didn't work for the layout or whatever. So if you wonderful people who contributed artwork to that thread do not see your pieces in there and you spent time doing it, please don't feel bad, because it was totally appreciated. It was amazing. I mean, I was floored by the amount of work people did. So,
yeah, I know that Jack Norris himself was really excited to be able to contribute.
Yeah. Well, it was an idea that I had, and I pitched to the guys at Green Ronin, and they were like, "Yeah, absolutely, let's try crowdsourcing it from everybody." And I mean, people did great. I mean, we were really, really impressed and really happy with it. And
yeah, it's one way you're really blessed is you've got a really active, enthusiastic, and helpful community there at the time.
Yeah. And they have all the resources there too, right? Especially for something like this art thing, is like you've got all your comic books or you've got your files of comics, then you can go to them and scan them or pluck out an image or whatever. It worked perfectly in this case, and I'm sure we're going to do the same thing for the second volume of the book, which is going to be getting in the works. The art part of it is going to be getting into the works pretty soon here.
Cool. Excellent.
Well, hey,
can we say that, or are we not yet ready to nail down an estimated date for that? Are we still waiting? Waiting and seeing here?
I have a date. I mean, oh, okay. I have a date for, let's see, through November of this next year, I have all of our products planned out. But
oh, okay. Okay.
When will it actually come out? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the date that I could give you for Heroes and Villains Volume 2.
Well, I was thinking Volume 1.
Oh, Volume 1? Oh, that should be actually very soon.
Very soon?
And very soon. In fact, I have been told it will be before Christmas.
Good. Okay.
And that's the PDF. That's not the printed.
Right.
So Hal is busting his butt right now to get all that stuff done. And if he actually manages to get that out by the end of the year, I will be so totally amazed and impressed that.
Hal's last name?
Mangold.
Mangold, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure we mention it, because we've name checked him like 20 times in this conversation. So we'll make sure we.
Yeah, Hal's a really nice guy. I met him at at Gen Con this year.
Yeah, very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Oh, cool, cool. All right, let's see. I know some folks have been grousing that they wanted to see more previews, like you guys did, say, for the Joker, and I want to say a couple other characters. Any chance of we seeing some more of those in Mutants and Masterminds or not so, or .com or not so much?
For DC?
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, the timing right now is really weird. Just because we've got M&M coming out and we're trying to kind of get the word out about that.
Talk about that more.
Yeah, and it's not really that I want to talk about it more. It's that I have stuff more easily to put out and I don't have to get approvals to do it. Because everything that I would put up otherwise, I need to pass through DC and that always takes time. And so it's hard to necessarily do it on a schedule. I think for the Heroes and Villains Volume 1, I'm probably can get something together to pimp it a little bit more. But it's I don't want to kind of pull on Hal's coat too many times to get him to do stuff when he should be getting the books out the door. So
wanted to take that opportunity now that Mike brought it up, because I don't think we've done this. I thanked you before, but I wanted to do it on the air, as it were, because I did want to thank you guys for being so giving to us for the podcast adventures and actually giving us the license to use Scarecrow and
stuff. I mean, it's been great, and I love checking in to see how many people have listened to the podcasts. And I mean, it certainly seems like word is getting out to people. And
I think we're over 400 with the last one with Leon, aren't we?
Yeah, Leon's conversation was very popular. That's getting close to 400 right now, and our character gen podcast was up to, I want to say, almost 1,000 or over 1,000.
Wow!
So yeah. Halloween Adventures is about 530 right now. So
that's great.
Yeah, I mean, my average podcast when I first started was like a tenth of those numbers. So these are very, very popular. The actual plays and the rules discussions on DCA have been a big hit download wise. So.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, and I'm happy to do it. I mean, it's a good chance to kind of get actual accurate information from the horse's mouth, being me, and you know, let people know what's going on. And I like to give you guys some little tidbits so that the people who actually check in and listen to the whole thing, and you know, they get it's worth their while. So.
Yeah, all right. Looks like our first actual play podcast is our highest download ever. We're close to 1,200 downloads on that one. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah, well, for the kind of numbers we usually get, that's a big deal. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to touch on before we call it a podcast?
Let me look at my schedule here and see if there's anything else that's coming up. We've got Heroes and Villains Volume 1. We've got the Heroes Handbook for M&M. We've got the Hero's Journey starting in January. Oh, and that's the other thing about the Hero's Journey is the first part of it is going to be like a 5-page PDF that's also going to be free for download when you can get those get the Sentinels characters.
Nice.
So you can kind of kick off the adventure and then hopefully pick up the additional 20-page chapters that'll come after that on a monthly basis.
Okay.
And then Game Master's Guide, GM screen, and the character maker thing. So it looks like we're off and running. So,
okay, sounds good. Well, hey, John, just want to thank you for your time.
You bet.
We appreciate you talking to me. James, anything else you want to ask or throw in before we call it a night?
I think we're good. I think we can wrap it.
Well, hey, thanks everyone for tuning. We're recording again. All right. Until next time. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant.
John,
what did you click?
You have to stay.
Did you click off? Or
premature clickage?
Yeah, premature. John, say stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant.
Thank you, John. And we're out.